Welcome to season 3 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big topics into small bites. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Neuzel, and I'm joined by my dear friend, women's health and fertility expert, naturopathic physician Kate Namas, to break down infertility, hormones, and the whole baby-making shebang.
So this week, let's talk about some of the things that women tend to accept as normal, but that could indicate something more serious, specifically an abnormality that can lead to fertility troubles. So I do not want this to be considered an exhaustive list of all of the things that can indicate troubles, but it's likely to be, you know, it's the ones that I think of that when I think of fertility red flags. And so I think this is relevant because for all that women talk more than we used to with each other about hormone issues and female troubles, we still don't talk nearly enough, right? And lots of symptoms that women accept as normal, because their mother has the same symptom or their sister or their bestie, might actually be a sign that there's hormone imbalance.
Absolutely. So our first one is skipped periods or missed periods. It's absolutely normal to miss 1 to 2 periods a year for different reasons. But if you're having less than about 10 periods on average per calendar year, that's more skipped periods than would be optimal for your fertility. So a skipped period is different than a long cycle. Mm-hmm. So this is just kind of missing one out of the blue where you think you aren't, or missing 3 and now it's been 3 months and you haven't had a cycle. Those would be skip periods.
Right.
They can be normal, especially if you've had a really high stress situation, like a big move or a job change or a death in the family. Those are normal times where a woman may skip a period. You can also have skip periods because of excessive or excess exercise. Mm-hmm. The example being like endurance athlete or marathon runners. But if you cut back on the exercise and your cycles don't come back, then that's another concern.
Right. I do want to point out too, that COVID here recently has had a lot of hormonal shifts for women. So both the vaccine can induce a skipped period and also the virus itself.
Exactly. Which we are considering totally normal and safe at this point. Mm-hmm. If for some reason your cycle doesn't come back, or is abnormal for more than 3 months after your COVID vaccine or COVID, then that would be the time to reach out to your OB-GYN and say, hey, is something more serious going on here?
Right, yep. Exactly.
And there are other infections that can do the same thing. And then the other would be certain reactions to certain drugs like antibiotics. And normally your provider should let you know, but they often don't. So if you've taken a new medication and you have a skip period, reach out to your doctor, let them know, find out if that's a normal side effect, and probably time to switch to a new medication if you have to be on that long term.
Or your pharmacy. I have a lot of women who say, well, I don't want to bother my doctor, blah, 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 or my doctor's really hard to get a hold of. These are really common, but pharmacists are an incredible wealth of knowledge and information. And that's a great resource if you have a question about a medication you've recently started taking.
Agreed. And sometimes the doctor will actually just hop on the phone with the pharmacist to get their question answered and call you back. So that's a great shortcut.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another is heavy bleeding or flooding. Sometimes it's hard for women to know if you are a heavy bleeder. Mm-hmm. Because if you've always had heavy cycles, you may just think that's normal, right?
Right.
Normal. Or you talk to your biological relatives and they all have the same sort of thing, but that's because they're your relatives and you may have some genetic propensity toward heavy cycling. So if you're confused about or don't know if your cycle is actually heavy, let your doctor know, like how many pads you bleed through in an hour. If you're able to do activities of daily living, like go to work, or driving a car without ruining the seat, how many tampons you have to go through in a 24-hour cycle, that will help you to identify if you truly are having heavy bleeding.
Mm-hmm. Or if you use a menstrual cup too.
Yes, exactly.
It's for women who use a menstrual cup, theoretically that cup is supposed to fill once during an average cycle, right? So although you obviously have to empty it regularly, theoretically you shouldn't be filling it. That's not the case for all of us.
Right. Right. What I would also say about the heavy bleeding and flooding is it can be normal, but it's usually a warning sign that something is off. Maybe endometriosis, maybe fibroids. If you're in the right age range, it absolutely could be perimenopause. Mm-hmm. So those are other things to pay attention to.
Absolutely.
And then on the reverse, scanty bleeding. And again, we have kind of the same situation. A lot of women bleed the same every month. So if you're used to only having 1 to 2 days of light pink bleeding, you may just think, I have the most awesome period in the world and I'm very happy with this.
Yes.
But that's scanty. That's not enough menstrual blood and usually is a sign of a hormone imbalance in the previous cycle.
Yep. Exactly. And I mean, yeah, that's that like that warm, cushy nest you're supposed to be making in your uterus.
Yes.
It's not very warm and cushy.
Right. Exactly. And one of the things we will actually do in a woman who's not having her cycle is we will do what's called a progesterone challenge. And we will give her 10 days of prescription progesterone. And then when you withdraw that progesterone, you will normally have a period. This is actually a diagnostic tool we use to see what are the different things going on. And you will notice that if you've normally had scanty periods and you do this progesterone challenge, you'll have a more normal amount of bleeding with that progesterone challenge because the progesterone has created that nice cushy lining.
Right.
And now you're going to have a more normal looking period.
Yeah. Nobody loves going from a scanty cycle to a normal cycle, but it's a really helpful change for fertility.
Yes, exactly. And another little tool to use, if you're like, do I have heavy periods or not? If you're constantly struggling with iron deficiency anemia since you've become a menstruating person and you think your cycles are heavy, they probably are because you're just losing iron every month when you're bleeding. Mm-hmm. Hirsutism. So this can also be normal. Some ethnic groups, many ethnic groups have more or less facial hair and body hair than white women, which is usually what we're kind of comparing it to, which is ridiculous and is not how we should be doing it. But hirsutism is abnormal hair growth for you.
Right.
So you didn't used to have dark hair on your nipples and now you do, or you didn't used to have dark hair on your chin and now you do. So that is really important symptom to report to your doctor and let them know. If it's always been like that since you started puberty, that's just natural and normal for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it can be a sign of high testosterone in women where it is a new or changing symptom.
Exactly. There's also hair loss. I mean, just like hair growth, there's hair loss.
Yeah.
And if you're like me and sensitive to hormones, any damn fluctuation is going to give you hair loss.
Totally. I know. Like the little bald patches right here, which is why I need bangs. Thank
Love
you, perimenopause.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
My son is, 11. So his testosterone is just beginning to like massively surge. He's got this gorgeous thick hair and I just want to like take half of it off of his head and glue it into mine.
So wasted, damn it.
So wasted. Well, I mean, he really likes it, but I consider it wasted. Yeah. So hair loss, this can indicate a lot of things. It can just indicate that you're pregnant. It can indicate that you're postpartum. You'll know those things. But the more significant things that could affect fertility would be PCOS. Mm-hmm. Low thyroid and high thyroid, which can all lead to hair changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thyroid is a really big one for hair loss.
Thank you so much for listening today and sharing your time with us. If you like this show, please follow and maybe even leave a review or like and subscribe if you happen to be watching on YouTube. Visit NAUMESND.com or tohealthwiththat.com for more information about Drs. Kate and me, Dr. Amy.